Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
All right, everybody. We are now in, the second part of learning how to change our beliefs. And I want to get into this deeper for this episode and for the next one that's upcoming. And again, I just want to explain what I'm doing here as to be in a way where everybody feels included in this and it's not excluding anyone, because I am bringing in some information from the Christian faith. And there's also another reason why I'm doing this. And one of the reasons is that religion is such a very big part of our belief systems, all over the world. And it doesn't matter if you were raised religious or not. Religion has a way of infiltrating our lives just by the interaction of other people, and in the way that they believe, the way that we do things as a society, societal values and ethics. It traces back to just a lot of religious context, and I think that it's very important for us to understand where a lot of our beliefs actually came from and how to use them in a way that makes sense. So I'm breaking down the idea of belief here, and it's very, very important to me that I try to get this across to everybody in a way where everybody can hear it. And I do understand some people have real issues with religion. And I can't emphasize enough, I'm not coming from a religious place with this, but I'm coming, you know, like when I get into some of the religious stuff, think about it as historical context and content. It doesn't really matter so much about what your belief is. So, but what it's going to do is it's going to help me explain something that can actually be quite complicated for various different reasons. One of the reasons is, where did these beliefs come from? How long have they been around? And why are they so important? So we cannot do that if we don't go back in history and really kind of see, where did the foundation of these things start? And to be completely honest with you, I'm not saying that they actually started with the religion. I don't know exactly where it started. It probably started in a way of being before we even had language that we understand. But there's definite places that we can go for reference points, and religion is one of them, and it's one that everybody understands to a certain degree. And again, it infiltrates everybody's life to a certain degree, regardless of your belief. So, all right, let's get into this. And I'm going to use Waddell's The Science of Getting Rich. In the last episode, I came from thinking in a certain way. Now I'm flipping over to chapter 11, which is acting in a certain way, which is kind of the next step with belief. But I want to dissect this idea of belief and add faith in there also so that we understand it. So here's the thing. There's at least four Greek words for faith, and the one that's most commonly used is pisteo, which means persuasion. This is very important, okay? So think about how you use the word faith in your life. Like, some people will say, I have faith that something's going to happen, or I have faith that I could, say, cross the street. Other people use faith as in the idea of religious faith, like, I have faith in my religion, I have faith in God, that type of thing. But we use the word faith in a lot of different ways, And it's important to understand, if we're going to understand this word, it's important to understand the meaning that we have in our own belief system around that word. So what's very important is to understand where these words came from and what the original intent of the word was. So it's interesting because I'll bet you that most people do not associate the word faith with persuasion. And again, it comes from the Greek, pisteo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It's P-I-S-T-E-U-O, which means persuasion. The root word is pithio, which means convince. The word belief in Greek is pistis, which means confidence or trust. Now, some of you, I know, are thinking like you just had the lid blown off your mind, because the first time that I studied this, I felt like I had just found a treasure, okay? The idea, the intent behind these words based on what the etymology of the word is so very, very different than the way that we use it. As I said before, most of us use the word belief basically as mental assent. You know, it's an intellectual understanding or agreement about something. But if we go to the etymology, if we go to the Greek of the word, it actually means confidence or trust. So why is this such a big deal? Well, so let's make sure we're keeping track of this. So faith is convince or persuasion, and belief means confidence or trust. So now we get into the idea of the action around these two words and what that actually means. If we're going to have faith or trust from the perspective of belief, and we can't let doubt creep into our mind, that means that we have confidence in trust that is 100%. It's absolutely 100%. There's nothing there that is causing that confidence and that trust to waver. But what is the confidence and trust in? It's in the truth. So let's talk about the truth a little bit, because this is something that we've covered many times. We have the reality that we live in that we call our life, our experience, our environment, the results that we get, the circumstances that we experience in life. You know what your reality is. I know what my reality is. Everybody's aware of what their reality is. When we're experiencing the reality, we also have to understand that it is not the entire truth. Our reality is highly based on the way our belief system is telling us or guiding us to perceive what it is that we're experiencing. So when we are experiencing something, if our belief system says this is a good thing, we perceive it in a good way. That's our reality. If it says it's a bad thing, we perceive it in a bad way. Now, what that then causes us to do is to make decisions or choices or even reactions, if you will, around what it is that we're experiencing, those different situations that show up in our reality. But if we're not understanding the whole truth, that reality that we're experiencing is also suggesting something to us. So if we have a situation that's bad, it may be suggesting to us all different kinds of consequences or manner of experiences that we don't want to experience, that we actually look at and say, that's not good, that's bad, that sucks, this is a tragedy, whatever it might be. So then we start making decisions based on that. Those decisions then will turn into stories, meaning that we're gonna take the decision, we're going to take the situation, we're going to take our belief behind it, and then we're going to create a story around what that is, And then we end up carrying that story inside of us. And that story has a tendency to take on a life of its own. And we literally then end up creating alternate beliefs that go with it. So over a period of time and a period of experience, these stories literally start to become our entire life. And as they become our entire life, we're constantly filtering the life that we're experiencing back through those stories to reinforce the belief systems that we have. So, you know, this whole thing that I just explained, you might want to listen to this several times to really get an idea what I'm talking about, because what we do is you'll hear this, but then I want you to look at your life and actually, how are you doing that? How are you experiencing things? How do you create a story around it? How does that influence your thinking and your decision making as you're going through life? Also, you can take the stories that you already have, that we all carry stories about our life, about other people, about experiences, and look at those stories and kind of dissect them and ask yourself, what are the beliefs around these stories that I'm carrying that are having an impact in my life? Remember, if we have a belief around it, that means that we have confidence or trust in it. So let's think about the implications that this has around the idea of money and business and relationships, that type of thing. If you have confidence and trust in the suggestion of the story that is showing up in your reality, and that story says you don't have enough, you've got a lot of bills, you've got debt, you probably have confidence and trust in the amount of money that you're bringing into your life in the moment. So that means that you know how much you make on a regular basis, and because your experience is that number doesn't change very much, you also have confidence and trust that it probably won't change. So we get stuck in this pattern of life being very, very similar to the way that it was yesterday. Here's the danger in that. Number one, it's not true, because just from the fundamental fact that yesterday doesn't exist. Yesterday was a moment in time. The only time that exists is right now. So when we look back into these stories about what I experienced yesterday or what I experienced last week or what I experienced 2 years ago in my life, and we allow that to influence the way that we're thinking now, it's very detrimental to where we're moving forward if that has not changed. And it won't change if we don't bring any new information into our consciousness in which we can make a new decision from. So the idea here is that we understand that the reality is based on a belief system. The belief system's based on the experience and the story that we tell ourselves, and that we repeat that over and over again, and we consistently get a result. As we decide to move forward, if we want a different result, we don't go out and change the thing that we're experiencing first. We must go back and ask ourselves, what is it that caused this reality to show up the way that it did, so that I can reevaluate what I'm looking at and actually bring in the entire truth about the experience and not just the one side that my belief system is telling my perception to see, to understand. So we have to bring in the entire truth. When I teach this around money, the truth is there's an abundance. And if we bring the law of polarity in to be able to understand that further, as far as if the truth is abundance, where are we on that scale as far as the way that we're experiencing that in our reality? Well, you could experience it at the extreme end of wealthy, or you could experience it at the extreme end of poverty, or you could experience it anywhere in between. You have to look at where you are on that scale, and that's probably the most important thing you can do, is not think about somebody else, but think about yourself. So here's how we're experiencing this. Here's the number that I bring in every week, month, year, whatever. That's my income. And here's where I would see myself on that sliding scale based on the law of polarity. But the truth is abundance. So I am experiencing just one narrow little experience of an entire truth that I have the ability, because of my power to choose, to slide up and down that experience and experience whatever I want. Now, in the moment, right now, forget about how that would happen. Let's just talk about the truth that it can happen. That means that based on what we do with our belief system, we can experience anywhere in that scale from extreme poverty to extreme wealth in our life by the choices that we make. And we can change the choices that we make based on the new information that we take into our consciousness and then develop a belief, which means confident and trust, around a truth that we did not previously experience. I know that's a mouthful, but just stick with me here. The word itself, belief, and the word itself, faith, those are actionable words, and they run very close together. So think about it like a train on a train track, okay? A train is a very powerful piece of machinery. It has the ability to go from one destination to another, but it needs both tracks in order for it to run on. And those two tracks, metaphorically in our life, to run on would be faith and belief. Those are the two tracks that we need to run on, both spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, and in our actions in order to create the life that we desire. We need faith and we need belief. Now, let's go back to this again. Faith means persuasion and to convince. Belief means confidence and trust. Both of these words are not only actionable words, but they're also, they have an idea of destination behind them. What does that mean? Where are you going? What do you want to create in your life? So if you have the ability to persuade and convince, and you have the ability to have confidence and trust, that means that if you're running on those two tracks and nothing causes you to jump the track, so to speak, like doubt comes into your mind or you start focusing on something else, that every single thing that you experience as you're going down those tracks, you have the ability to literally change as you're moving through. Now, bear with me on this because I'm working on building this out. Persuasion and convince gives us the ability to change experiences as we move through them. Most of the experiences that we move through involve people. So when we have an experience in life, it usually involves other people to some extent. And how we experience life is very much based on our interaction with other individuals. So from a business perspective, in order for us to do business, in order for us to make a lot of money, in order for us to be a benefit to the world, we have to have the ability to persuade and convince two things. One, ourself of the direction that we want to go. Number two, other people for whatever benefit it is that we have to be able to offer them. So when we say we have faith in doing something, we seriously need to think about what it is that we're actually saying. If you don't have the ability to persuade and convince both yourself and other individuals, then we've got a major problem. We're not really operating with faith. If we say to ourselves, I have the faith from a business perspective, I have a faith that I'm going to make more sales. I have the faith that more money is actually going to come into my life. I have faith that I'm going to build 5 companies. I have faith that I'm going to get a new house. I have faith that I'm going to get a new car. That what we should be understanding is that we're saying I have the ability to persuade and convince my own thinking, my own behavior, my own emotional state, the way that I show up in the world, other individuals that I need to find to go along with whatever my objective is in life and business so that I can get to the end result, and the confidence and trust that those people are actually out there, which is where the belief comes from. It's also the confidence and trust that the universe, the entire truth of the universe, is that I also have a purpose. That purpose involves other people. Those people are already here, and the fulfillment of my purpose is also about the exchange of what I have to offer those individuals and the receptivity around it for those people actually using what I have to offer to make any kind of change that they have in life. So the words mean much more than the face value that we actually take these things on in our life. Now, if we're coming from, say, the Christian understanding of this, there is the idea of like the belief in Jesus Christ. So let's look at that from a little bit of a different perspective, just for the benefit of everybody. Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, okay? If we remove the man or the God behind the idea of Jesus Christ just for a moment, okay, just so this benefits everybody, if you look at the truth of this statement, the way, the truth, and the light, that is something that everybody wants in their life. They want to know the way to get where they want to go. They need to be able to understand the truth, and that is kind of like the train track heading in a direction. The train track wants to head in a way of truth. Those tracks need to be true. It needs to be heading to an ideal destination. And the light is what illuminates our way forward. It gives us something to follow. It is a representation of the truth. It is a representation of good. It is a representation of destination for ourselves. So it's very important to understand the idea that these two words, faith and belief, go way, way deeper than just the surface understanding that we have around them of agreement or assent to, you know, some topic or understanding. It goes way deeper than that. These are two words that are extremely actionable in a person's life, which also gives a very clear indication of why they would be so powerful if a person understood them and then began to change the way that they were operating with these words internally inside themselves and how they're actually showing up in the world. Because literally, when we're coming from belief, it's saying, I have confidence and trust that the thing that I say is going to happen. And most people do not have the confidence and trust that what they say is going to happen. What they have confidence and trust in is basically what the facts of life, right? All it is is the facts that we see in reality are reflected back to us. And as we experience those facts in our life, then we say, oh, that's the truth. That's what I have to make decisions around, that truth. But again, that's not the truth. All that is a fact in a point in time in the reality that you're experiencing. The truth is all-encompassing. A fact is only part of something. And a lot of facts are contextual, meaning that that fact can change if you take it out of context with something. So the idea of belief is that, what are we going to believe in? Are we going to believe in the fact? Because if we believe in the fact then that becomes our God, so to speak. And again, coming from like the Christian faith, it says that, like in the Ten Commandments, it says, "Thou shalt not put any other gods before me." What does that really mean? Well, God represents the truth. So if we put an alternate fact that is only a partial sliver of that truth that we call our reality, and we make that our God, then we're not actually following the truth. All we are is following the visible evidence of the fact that we're experiencing, but we're not bringing in the entirety of the truth. And that's where this makes the biggest difference, because if I look at just the facts and that's where I have my belief, my confidence and my trust, just in those facts, the fact is extremely limiting. It's extremely limiting, especially in whatever context we're experiencing that fact in. So if I make a decision around that, it is going to so tremendously affect my future by way of basically only giving me what I've already experienced, or in the case of viewing it from a place of things getting worse, like if I look at a set of facts, let's say, where several things have happened in my life that aren't good. They're bad. I could have a tragedy. I could have a divorce. I could have a death. I could have a bankruptcy. I could lose my job. Like a bunch of things could happen in a very short period of time. And we could look at those and we could go, well, hell, those are the facts. That's what I'm experiencing. Now, what is the determination that we make around those facts? If we say, well, life sucks. Everything's getting worse. This is absolutely terrible. We've literally made a decision. We've put our confidence and our trust in those series of facts that we're viewing as bad, and because of the word faith, what we're doing is we're persuading and we're convincing ourselves to believe that that's the truth. So we create more and more of that in our life. Because the only thing that human beings ever consistently do is create. That's what we do. We're creative beings. We're always creating. We're either creating consciously or unconsciously, and we're either creating what we want or what we don't want. But at no time do we stop creating. From the moment of conception to the moment of death, all we do is create. So if our confidence and trust is in the facts, and the story and the determination that we make around those facts is not good, we put our persuasion and our convincing into ourself that that's what's real, and then we create more of that because that's what we have confidence and trust in. That's the whole idea behind belief. So that's what we're saying. What we want to do is we need to change that. The only way that we can change this, so let me just back up for 1 second before I finish that sentence. We have to understand that whether we're consciously using belief or not, we all believe. We all have confidence and trust in something. Even if a person says, "I don't trust anything," you have confidence and trust that you don't trust anything. So the fact that you're a creative being will then give you verification in your reality that you can't trust anything. So the idea is that we're aware of that, and now what we have to do is we have to gain information that allows us to put our confidence in trust in something else, which we call the truth, in order to illuminate our path forward to the end result that we truly desire and not the result that we don't desire. Then we use faith as a manifestation word so that we are persuading and convincing our own conscious and subconscious mind to get in alignment with that, and that's how we literally create the future that we desire. Okay, that's it for today. I'll catch you on part 3 of this amazing series on belief.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more,
go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.